Great, so it's Jules here. Let's dive into module 6, the final module for the Healthy Meal Method. And in this module, we're looking at one of my favorite topics of all time, the art of adaptation. So here's what we'll cover in this video. First, we'll look at the 8 tips for using adaptable template recipes. Then we'll look at the secret to playing the what's in the fridge game. And we'll also cover 5 easy tricks for adapting to changes in your schedule, which can be a big thing for a lot of people, I know. So let's delve in. So 8 tips for mastering the art of cooking with adaptable template recipes. So tip number 1 is to trust your instincts. So the one thing I wish I'd realized earlier in my cooking career is that even if you don't have much experience as a cook, all those years of eating 3 or so meals a day means that we all have an amazing natural catalog of food knowledge in our heads. So please don't underestimate your natural food instincts. After all, you've been eating for a long time. And if you think something is going to be delicious and trust yourself, it probably will be. I can honestly say that there aren't many times that I think of trying something and it ends up not working. You know, 90% of the time, it ends up tasting even better than I could imagine. And remember, you are the expert of your own taste buds. So then tip number 2 is to pay attention to the classic flavor combinations. So there's a whole wealth of food knowledge out there, so there's no need to go reinventing the flavor wheel each time you step into the kitchen. We'll go through some examples later, but you kind of get the idea. So when you're eating and you come across a great food combination, really encourage you to like just make a mental note or even keep a note, you know, list of notes of what works well and what really appeals to you as well. Tip number 3, start with less. So remember, in cooking, it's always easy to add more than it is to take away, particularly when you're seasoning. So by focusing on starting with less ingredients or less courses, you give yourself a chance to get it right, and then you build on your success. So it kind of goes across, you know, just from preparing one simple meal to if you're doing a dinner party, less is always the best option. Then tip number 4, read the whole recipe before you start, including the variations. So in the kitchen, it's super important to know where you're heading and how you're going to get there. With template recipes, this is even more important because you're in charge and you're actually driving the boat yourself. So you're not blindly following the recipe. So take control and make some decisions, but it's important to know, have a clear view in your mind of where you're going before you get there. You can change that view as you go along, but it's important to have kind of a destination. Oh, I'm skipping ahead here. So develop a vision or a picture of the end dish in your mind before you start cooking. So you need to know where you're going to get there and with the least amount of hassle and fuss. So after you read the template recipe, it's important to decide which variational path you want to choose and kind of just really imagine how that's going to taste, how it's going to come together in your mind. Number 6, be prepared to taste and season. So I'm convinced that the ability to taste and season, you know, to add whatever needs adding is the most important skill when it comes to cooking. It's the key difference between a great cook and an okay or a mediocre cook. So every time you step into the kitchen, be prepared to have a little taste and ask yourself, could this taste better? You know, what does this need? What is this lacking? And that's really practice is really the thing that's going to get you there. Number 7, take mistakes as a learning experience. So cooking is a natural process and no one can or should expect to get it right absolutely every time. So last year I went to a talk by René Redzepi, the chef at Noma in Copenhagen, which was at the time the best restaurant in the world. And one of the biggest messages he tells his chefs is that failure is an option. So if the best chef in the world expects things to go wrong from time to time, then surely we home cooks should expect the same. And then finally, number 8, have faith in Clancy's law of cooking. So you've probably heard of the great Irish philosopher Murphy and his famous law, if anything can possibly go wrong, it will go wrong. When I was little, my dad used to tell us that Clancy's law was that Murphy was an optimist. Fortunately, I seem to have inherited more of my mum's outlook on life and philosophy. So I've invented Clancy's law of cooking and it runs along these lines. So if you think something is going to taste delicious, it probably will. Great. So now we're going to move on to the secret to playing the What's in the Fridge game and why this game can help you master the art of adaptation. So the art of adaptation is a skill that I believe anyone can learn. It's something that with a little practice and a willingness to risk the odd failure, all cooks can master. And the good news is that you can take baby steps to get there. So one of the things that really helped me move from being a follow the recipe type of cook to more of a freestyle in the kitchen is a game I like to play. I call it the What's in the Fridge game, and you probably guess what it involves. Yep, it's all about just cooking with what you have in the house. So here we go, the rules of the game. So number one, you can't duck out to the shops to pick up an ingredient. So it all has to be things that are already in the house or your garden. Or I guess if you wanted, you could borrow from the neighbors, but I tend not to do that. And then the second rule, which is the final rule, is that there's no need to eat a failure. So if it doesn't work out, be nice to yourself, you know, order in some Thai food or, you know, make yourself some toast. Just there's no need to eat something that hasn't worked out. So begin with the end in mind. So we covered this concept a little bit earlier, but for me, this is the most important step when it comes to adapting or inventing a new dish. So I always take the time to survey the ingredients that I have on hand and then imagine what I'm going to cook. So until I have a bit of a picture in my mind, I don't start cooking. So sure, that picture can change with time as I go along, but it's really important to know, like have some idea about where you're heading before you start. My other tip is to learn the classic flavor combinations. So I recently saw a demonstration by the pastry chef from cutting edge New York restaurant WD50, which I was lucky enough to eat at the year before last. And one of the things that really surprised me the most about his comments was that he tends to avoid out there flavor combinations. His logic was that you don't need to reinvent the wheel, and there's a reason why the classics are the classics, which I think is really wise words. So here are a few flavor combinations to get you thinking. So tomato and basil, one of my all-time favorite summer things. Cheese and onion or cheese and chives. Potato and rosemary, my Irishman's favorite combo. He'd add garlic to that as well. Lime, chili, and coriander, or you could go, you know, chili, coriander, lime and chili, any combination of any of those three. Fennel and fish, beautiful combination, and zucchini and mint. And that's just a few that I put in there to get you thinking. And remember, like, the biggest thing with the adaptation is to keep it simple. I've said it before, but apart from burning things, I find the biggest failures happen in the kitchen when I get carried away and add too many elements to a dish and I end up with a muddled mess. So since I started cooking with 5 ingredients, this hasn't been such a big problem for me, but it's where I see beginners making the most mistakes. So keep reminding yourself that less is more and really that you can add something later. So keep it simple, people. Okay, now we're moving on to 5 easy tricks for adapting to changes in your schedule. So they say there are only 2 certainties in life, death and taxes, but I would argue that in the modern world, we should include a third, and that's change. So whether you're someone who thrives on change or is a self-professed change phobic, we need to face the fact that there will be changes in our schedules and our lives. This means we can set ourselves up for success so that when our plans change, which they inevitably do, we are able to adapt with the minimum amount of effort and stress. So here are 5 tips for adapting to changes in your schedule. So first one is to anticipate the change. So take it as a given that there will be change, and then try and gauge how much volatility you need to accommodate on a regular basis. So over time, you'll notice patterns that will help you plan for the most common disruptions. For example, in our house, there are 2 things that commonly happen at the last minute. The most common thing is my Irishman having to travel at the last minute and he's away for 1 or 2 nights. The next most common occurrence is having last minute guests for dinner. So the second trick is to build a backup plan for the most common changes. So once you know the most common occurrences, you can start thinking about backup plans that will allow you to adapt. This doesn't need to be specific, just in a general idea of what you'll do when you're faced with a particular situation. So if we go back to my examples, given that my Irishman often needs to travel for work, I make sure at least 1 or 2 of my protein types each week for my meals have a long shelf life so that if he does go away, we can leave them for the next week. So I usually have a couple of steaks in the freezer or some cryovac meat in the fridge, or, you know, there's always dried lentils in my pantry, or I have, unopened packages of halloumi or tofu. And I do the same with veg. So some are short shelf life, like bags of baby spinach and salad leaves. Then I have others that are longer shelf life, like carrots, cabbage, and celery, so that if we don't need them, they'll last till the following week. And in the case of my other example of when we have unexpected visitors, I usually get at least 24 hours notice. It's not like people are rocking up on the doorstep completely unannounced. So I know there'll be enough time for someone, me or my Irishman, to drop by the supermarket or go to the butcher to get whatever we need. So it usually works out fine. Okay, so trick number three for adapting to changes in your schedule, don't choose all perishable or short shelf life food. So we've covered this earlier in the program, but it can really take the pressure off. So by including some produce which will last for longer than a week, like cabbage, cauliflower, zucchini, cucumber, carrots, celery, broccoli, etc., it maximizes your flexibility because it doesn't matter if you leave them for the next week. Same goes for protein. So look out for cryovac meat, tofu, halloumi, or even frozen protein sources. Then canned and dry legumes and lentils can also be great. And things like canned tuna or sardines can also add a comfortable margin of safety. Then number four, when unexpected changes do happen, perform a little home food preservation. So when your plans change, have a quick look in the fridge and see if there's anything that's going to go bad before you'll have a chance to eat it. It only takes a few minutes, but can make a massive difference to your waste levels. So think about whether you can freeze the ingredient for later, or whether partially cooking it or doing a little mise en place will help prolong its shelf life. There's usually something that you can do to rescue something from going off. And then finally, have some fun with it. So sometimes the best cooking discoveries happen when you're under pressure, and yeah, that's been very true of my cooking for me. So that's it for this module. So we'll move on to your action steps. So remember, super important that insight without action is worthless. So it's super important to take the first step now while everything's fresh in your mind. So your first homework for this week is to complete step six. We're up to the final step of if you haven't already done that from module one for developing your habits. And step six is if you fail, to remember to keep on trying, just get back on that horse, because you know, pretty much it's guaranteed that you will fail. So it's important to remember that and just plan to get back up again. Then your action step number two, number two, set aside one meal in the next week to play the what's in the fridge game. I like to do this when I'm just cooking for myself, when I don't have other people to, because then it's less pressure. It doesn't matter so much if it doesn't taste very nice, but it's up to you. But really encourage you to give it a go, and you'll be surprised what you'll find. Then step number three, when it's time to cook, have a good look in your pantry, fridge, and freezer. Then browse through the template recipes in this module, choose one, and then just take it from there. And then finally, if you report back. So I'd love to hear what you came up with. Share your experiments in the comments below this video, or share with the Stone Soup Virtual Cookery School community on Facebook or on Instagram. So there's a link to the, if you go to the share tab in the nav menu, that'll take you to the share page, and you can find it from there. If you would like to learn more about the art of adaptation and cooking with template recipes, there's a whole big in-depth program that we have called Master Your Meal Plan. So really, if you're interested in that, really encourage you to set aside some time to go through that program, and I think you can really go deep on it. And so what's coming up next? Next we're going to be looking at our bonus training. So we've got some few surprise things coming up, but next week it'll be easy ingredient substitution. So see you soon.